If you have your Bible, stand, raise it in the air, and bear witness of God's Word. It's beautiful. You may be seated. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalms 119. When you find your place, just say, I have it. When the psalmist wrote this, and when I say the psalmist, different scholars have said that could be David, could be Daniel, could be Ezra. I believe it's David, but could be any of those that wrote this. And they'd went through this time of trouble. They had felt like they were distanced from God. They realized inside of themselves something that was pretty unique. And we want to confront that today by talking about what they're talking about. So I want to read verse 1 through 16 in Psalms 119 today. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of the testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought Thee, O let me not wander from Thy commands. Have you ever heard of a gentleman named Robert Robinson? Robert Robertson. He's not a household name. Robert Robertson was 22 years old in 1757 when he wrote a worship hymn that we still sing today. As a matter of fact, we sang it today. It was slated on our list to sing for the 10:30 service, and of course, I didn't know that it was, and this is how I know that this is a God thing. Is that for several weeks, I'd been convicted and led in this particular way, knowing that this was something that I experienced in my life, and I see so many people experiencing it. And so as I began to research and study the subject that I thought God had given me, there's always a real close attention to hearing the Word of God when you're preaching and you're wanting to make sure you're preaching what He wants you to preach, not what you want to preach. And after quite a few different texts and studying and preparing, I thought, you know, what we should do is sing this song in church today, because this really just exemplifies everything that God's wanting to say today. So I thought, I'll tell you what, I don't want to mess Miss Vicky up, so let me see what she's got slated to sing, and I'll call her and see if maybe we can work this in. And lo and behold, it was Thursday afternoon when the bulletin hit my desk, and I opened the bulletin, and here we were many, many pages into the sermon, and I'd already done the research on the song and this and that, and I opened, and there was the song. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. That's an old song written by a young man, and today it didn't sound like a lot of you were familiar with that song, and you need to get familiar with that song. Listen to some of the words of this song. First, it speaks about salvation. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. That's salvation. When we sing victory in Jesus, We sing a verse that says, He sought me. He sought me and He bought me, right? He looks for us. In Matthew, we learn that He's the shepherd and He goes looking for the sheep. He searches and finds us. That's how we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's looking for us. And when we see that He is, we accept Him, then we come into the fold of God. Now listen to the third verse. When we sing this verse, we're confessing to God. We're asking Him for help. Now, we do this as Christians when we admit that we have a problem. The first thing we do is praise. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. The goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God. If we fail to think about it, we'll drift away from God. And basically what he's saying, the words of this song, we are in debt to God's grace and we need the goodness of God to bind us like a fetter. That is something that prisoners wore to make sure that they were chained to the right place. Let your goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Well, what do you mean, my wandering heart? Well, then we go into confession. Listen to this. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. No, surely not, right? Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. So he talks about a wandering heart. We would look in our mind and pick out other people and say, yes, they have a wandering heart, they have a wandering heart. And today I want to talk about basically when we wander away. Wandering away. I want to focus on the words of this mighty psalm because it speaks a real truth that we see people constantly battling with. We see it in individuals. We see it in families. We see it in churches. We see it in organizations. We see it in different societies and government. It's this wandering away. And I want to talk today about wandering away from God. Why? Because individuals wander away from God. Families wander away from God. Churches wander away from God. Organizations wander away from God, and different societies and governments, they wander away from God. As I was writing this and thinking about it, I could find examples of every single one of those things that I just told you. They were close to God. There was a time that you would have seen them really close, really diligent, with a close relationship. But now they've wandered away. Now, what causes people to wander away from God? And what can we do if we've wandered away from God? We watched those children this morning. I was giving the example. There's nothing scarier as a child than to be in a store and get distracted. And here you're looking at this toy right here and you turn around and something's happened and you don't see your mom and dad or that safe place. Anybody ever been in that situation? And all of a sudden, panic sets in, right? Well, why? Well, you wandered away. You didn't intentionally try to hide. You just wandered away. The definition of wandering, according to Webster, to wander, is to travel or move around with no set route or goal. La, 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 la. I'm just focusing on something over here. I wandered away. And to wander away from God is to leave a position or place that's close to God and go somewhere else. I think that's a fair definition, don't you? And if we pay attention to the Bible, we'll see that God knows that we'll be in danger if we wander away from Him, and the devil knows that we'll be in danger if we wander away from God. So God tells us not to wander, and the devil tempts us and lures us away just a little, then a little bit more, then a little bit more. Just like these children this morning. That was the way the children's sermon was supposed to work. You see, you'll move a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. See, the fact is, in my research, and this is just in watching people and evaluating my own life, Very rarely does someone run full speed away from God. They begin to just wander away a little, and then a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more. And before you know it, they're away. I can look back at my life and tell you that there was a time in my life that even though I was a Christian, I was away from God. I had no intention of being away from God. I would have never planned to stop praying regularly. I would have never planned to stop reading my Bible. I would have never planned to stop worshiping. But it happened gradually. I can remember that's not the example that my parents set. Sunday morning, we went to church. We went to Sunday school. Sunday evening, we were back at church. There were no exceptions. There was nothing that took precedent. Not even the party that had to be planned on Sunday that couldn't be planned on Saturday. And everybody went. We didn't stay home with the one person that couldn't go. And if we did, both parents didn't stay home. It was where we were going to be. It was the precedent. And then we went back on Monday because that's when we had our youth meeting. Tuesday night we had a visitation at church that my dad wanted us to go on. We actually went and knocked on doors as youth, invited people to come to church and gave out tracts and saw people get saved. Wednesday night we had service again. Saturday, my dad took us boys to Saturday men's prayer meeting. So you had Thursday and Friday that you weren't at church. And so that's the way I was raised. And I didn't run full speed away from God. I just stopped Saturday night, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then Sunday night, and then Sunday morning. Little by little by little. I began to get further and further away from God until it dawned on me, I'm in trouble. Life's terrible. I'm not happy. I'm not safe. I have no peace. I don't feel like I'm under the protective hand of God. I have no plan that seems to be working. I'm just going through life with no stability, no definite route to travel, and almost aimlessly dealing with each day just hoping to survive it. I was wandering through my life because I chose to wander away from God. Has anybody here ever been in that situation? If you have, raise your hand. You see, I see this happen today to young people, middle school, high school, that begin to wander. I see it happen as they meet new people and go into new situations and want to be accepted by different groups and want to experience things through high school and even through college. And they feel it's a rite of passage, and God forbid the parents even help them by saying, I want them to experience everything that they're not experiencing out here. I want them to have the full college experience. Do you know what you're saying? Of course you want them to go to college to learn. Are you forgetting that? You're wanting them to experience that away feeling. Like it or not, that's what you're saying. Yeah, I want them to experience, but I don't want them to experience being away. I see it happen a lot in this college and career age after they get out of high school, and we put this label on it that almost justifies it. We say they're trying to find themselves. Careful. They'll still be trying to find themselves at 45 and 50. What happens is we give reason for them to leave God. It's not their self. It's not their self they need to find. It's God they need to find. Amen. I see it happen as young people get married and begin to focus on the things that they want out of life, things. And even up through middle age, and as it gets even further, the pleasures of life that you begin to focus on. and older people as they basically were strong in church and, boy, they were faithful. But then they somewhat retire as servants of God. And they wander away. I see it happen to families as the families start pushing the children into things that take them away from church and take them away from learning about what God says. Of course, for the betterment of the children. Because their child needs to do this. So think about it. I'm a Christian parent. I'm going to make sure I implement something that takes my child away from worship, away from closeness to God. Are you benefiting the child? Now, being away is different than getting away. Everybody needs to get away. But being away is different than getting away. Getting away is a moment that you leave and come back. When we read Psalms 119 today, understand this is the longest chapter in the Bible. This psalm is a psalm that exalts God's word. It tells the importance of staying close to God. I'm speaking from experience today because I know how miserable it is to be away from God. And I don't think we're honest with ourselves when we sit and think about our capability to stay close to God. Most of us would say, I'll never get away from God. And I'm here to tell you, as the song says, you're prone to wonder. What does that mean? It's easy. It's easy. I'll guarantee you it's harder to miss the first service than it is the second, the third, the fourth, the sixth, the 20th. It's just easy. The more you're away. It's easier not to be praying right now if you haven't prayed steadily in a month or 2 months or 3 months. But when you're praying every day and multiple times a day, when you miss that first one, you're convicted of it. The more you miss, the easier it is to wander away from your prayer life. We used to get up and read all the time. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read and I'm going to study. But things got in the way and then you missed that time. And then now you're just trying to get in a couple of times a week. Or now it's like, let me make sure that I read before I go and do this thing that I've got to go do, whether it's teach or study or whatever. But it used to be all the time. What's happened? Well, you wandered away. But I want to explain how easy it is and our propensity to do it, because I don't think we confront that enough. We don't think that it's in us to do it. And the psalmist is trying to let us know. You know, when a relationship is good and solid, there's communication back and forth all the time. People are talking, right? Talking. And then gradually, you see that you're not talking as much. You're not communicating as much. The relationship gets strained. The people have sort of wandered away. It's sad, but it happens like that with God also. And this psalm is a psalm that exalts God's word. It tells the importance of staying close to God. The verse 1 talks about walking in the law of the Lord. Walking in the law of the Lord. That means whatever God says, you're walking, listening to it. It's like walking with God. You say, the law, that's Old Testament. No, he's talking about walking in what God says. Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In this law doth he meditate day and night. What will it do? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His leaf won't even wither. That's what happens when you walk with the Lord. But life's full of distractions, isn't it? Verse 2 talks about keeping his testimony and seeking God with our whole heart, wholeheartedly. You know, when we say something that we really, really love, we love it with our whole heart. That means we're thinking about it. We're dwelling on it. That's wholeheartedly. How many people want their wife to love them wholeheartedly? How many men want their wife to love them wholeheartedly? Amen. How many wives want their husband to love them wholeheartedly? Couple. How many women want your husband to love you half-heartedly? No one, right? Right? Verse 3 talks about trying consciously and intentionally not to sin and following the way that God says is right. And that person that's close really consciously tries not to sin. As you get further and further away, sin happens. True? But there was a time when it was like, man, I can't even think this. I can't even think this. And as you get further away, maybe after the fact, you say, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. When you're close, and you have that relationship, man, it's you and him. It's you and him, right? Man, I worshiped him. I've been worshiping him all week. I mean, this is what we did. Hey, this morning, we did this. Tonight, we did this. Hey, Wednesday night, we came in here. It was special. We did this. Hey, my prayer life has been good. I've been reading this place in the Bible. That's fellowship, right? Verse 4, psalmist says, obeying the rules that God says that we should follow. That's what he talks about. But in verse 5, we see that the psalmist declares, listen to this, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And I want you to notice here in your Bible, it should have an exclamation point after this. He stops and he says this really loud, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Basically, what he's saying, I want so badly to do what you want me to do, God. There must be a problem. He's admitting that he wants so bad to do it. Maybe something's happened where he hasn't done it. He's saying, hey, I've got an issue here. Verse 6 through 8 of Psalms 19, the psalmist is saying, if I can obey your word, if I can follow your commands, then I have nothing to be ashamed of. I'll be able to praise you with a clean heart as I learn from you and then do what you say to do. Verse 8, he says, forsake me not utterly. What is the psalmist saying? Please don't leave me because of what I've done. Basically, I need you. I need you close to me. Just a closer walk with thee, right? Verse 9, the psalmist asks a question and then answers it. And I want us to look at this. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What is he saying? How can I keep on track? I see where I'm at. How can I keep on track? How can I cleanse my way? Maybe he's been wandering, right? Then he answers it. Listen to the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He means by living according to your word. So when Jesus is speaking to you, you're doing what he's saying. That's how he can cleanse his way. Now I want you to listen. The psalmist asks for help. He asks for help in verse 10. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The psalmist knows that he won't be able to be close to God if he wanders. Isn't that elementary? Isn't that elementary? If I bring Reggie up here with me and he sits beside of me and then he stands beside of me and he begins to go this way, this way, this way and wanders back to there, it's elementary to know that we're not going to be close the further he wanders, right? And what's the way to stop him from being far away? Is stop what? Oh, that was an easy question. Please don't make me go through it again. Stop wandering. Thank you. Stop wandering. We always think, okay, what's the magic thing that I need to do to stay close to God? Stop wandering away. It's the most elementary answers, right? And we see the psalmist saying it, and we've seen it in the song, right? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. He knows it. Prone to leave the God I love. Verse 11 through 16, we see the psalmist ask the Lord to teach him. He vows that he'll praise the Lord continually for his instructions and rejoice in his fellowship with God. He vows that he will meditate on what God says, and he ends by saying, I will not forget thy word. something pretty neat here. If you look at verse 9, he says, take heed to thy word. Verse 11 says, I will hide your word in my heart. Verse 16 says, I will not forget your word. So when we hear the psalmist talk about God's word, we need to understand that God's word means what God says. Amen. If I would say, what's God's word? Everybody would point to the Bible. Well, that's part of God's word, but that's not completely God's word. You say, oh, you're messing up here. No, that is part of God's word. True, it is. God's word is how God communicates with us. It means what God says. It's not just the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. To us today, it's also the Holy Spirit that speaks inside of our heart. It's the voice of God inside of a believer that instructs a believer. And it's the voice of God that's calling unbelievers to come to Him and fellowship with them. So the Holy Spirit is another form of God's word. And then there's Jesus Himself. God's word is Jesus Himself. Jesus was the manifestation of the Word of God. He was called the Word, right? Because He was sent to man to be the person of God, to speak on behalf of God, and to show God's love to man, and to call man to God, and to provide the way for man to come to God. That's why He's the Word. He is the expression of God. How did God speak to man? How many people understood God as good before Jesus as after Jesus? No one. Jesus was God in the flesh. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And then later on in verse 14, John 1, He said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Word. That's Jesus Christ. So it's the written Word. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's Jesus Himself. When we wander away from any of these three, we wander away from God. So we see that Jesus represents this Word of God. The Holy Spirit represents the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures or the Bible represents the Word of God. What the psalmist is saying in Psalms 119 is that when we wander away from God, we wander away from His Word. We wander out of the sound of His voice, even though God is continually speaking to us through the written Word, through Jesus' life, and through the Holy Spirit. We wander away while He's talking. How rude. I was talking to my son yesterday, and he was in a hurry, and in the middle of me talking, he actually turned around like he was going to do something, I thought. And I reprimanded him. I said, don't you dare turn around when I'm in the middle of talking to you. Why? Because as a dad, it upset me. How dare you? I'm telling you something. Don't turn around like you've got something to do and not stand in front of me. Now, that's just me, right? I'm going to do that. How do you think God the Father feels with us barely glancing back every now and then? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Amen. How rude are we to God all the time? So when the psalmist speaks about God's word, he speaks about the complete word, the full word, as we see it today. And here's the problem. We do have a problem. As the song says, we're prone to wander. This means that it's easy for us to wander away from God. If we don't believe that it's easy for us to wander away from God, I want you to not take my word for it, but listen. Here's a prayer that Jesus prayed. He thought it was so important. Here's a prayer that Jesus prayed right before He was crucified, as He was in the garden, and He prayed on behalf of His disciples. You know what? The one thing He prayed for them, He prayed for them not to wander away, not to go astray. That was what He was praying. I want you to listen to this prayer. It's John 17. Turn to John 17. This is Jesus' prayer. Think about it. If it's not important, why would Jesus go to God and say, please, Father, this is my concern with my disciples? He's praying for those guys that were close to Him, that walked with Him. Verse 12 says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gave me, I kept them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that His Scripture might be fulfilled. That's talking about Judas. He says, and now come out of thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word. He's given them his what? Thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Listen, thy word is truth. So what does he say? When we read this and we read verse 14, he says, I've given them thy word. Verse 15 says, keep them from evil. This is talking about the evil one, the devil. And verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So this is Jesus' prayer for his disciples. And today, if you're saved, you are a disciple. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're a disciple. Jesus prayed this on behalf of us believers because he knows that it's easy for us to wander away because the devil is going to continually tempt us to distance ourselves from God. And what he tells us to do, he doesn't want us to do what God tells us to do, so he's going to continually tempt us. It doesn't have to be with something that's blatantly bad that's going to put you on the news. It can be with something that's just a distraction that begins to be something you think, oh, well, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. That's the devil's way. He doesn't tempt you by saying, I'm going to separate you from God. I'm going to cause you to murder somebody. No, he doesn't do that. He wants to distance you from God. The book of James, James was speaking to believers. And James 1:14, listen. He says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's what you saw those kids this morning. They wanted what? Fruity snacks. What were they tempted with? Fruity snacks. Little at a time. Little at a time. Little at a time. Drawn away. Of course, as we get older, it's not fruity snacks, is it? Drawn away. Drawn away is lured away. But drawn away from who? Drawn away from God. The devil lures us away. He tempts us to wander away just a little, and a little more, then a little more, because he knows that if you're walking close to God, listening to his word, then the devil can't make you mess up. And the devil can't make you give up. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to either mess up or give up. I'm walking close to God, and I'm listening to God, I'm reading his word, I'm talking to him, I'm in fellowship with God. How easy is it for me to blatantly sin or mess up? It's harder, isn't it? Why? Because God's continually speaking to me. But when I get away from God, it's a little easier, isn't it? Well, how did I get away from God? Well, the devil lured me away. He knows this. He doesn't want to preach this morning. That's why Jesus prayed. He says, I've given them thy word. Because see, the word is what we wander away from. And then he says, Father, keep them from the evil one. And then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, what does sanctification mean? Sanctification means to be set apart to God. And Jesus is praying for us to stay close to God by our continual listening to God. Listening to his word. He's praying for us not to wander from the word of God. When we start to wander from our frequency in God's word, we will wander away from God absolutely, unequivocally, every single time. You tell me a person, show me a person ever that has decided that they don't need to be regularly worshiping God. They don't need to be reading the word of God, and they don't need to be praying. Show me that person that is on fire for God. Please bring them. I will admit that I'm wrong. I will admit it publicly. Show me that person ever that is close to God that has left those three things. I don't care. I listen to those ones that say, I've got my own thing here. I worship here at home, and I do this. And I show me. What are they doing? Are they on fire for God? our reading of God's Word, our communication with God verbally, which is prayer life, and our continual worship, which is praising God through song and listening to the preaching of His Word and fellowshipping with other believers, those things make our closeness to God. Those things encompass God's Word. When we wander from those things, we distance ourselves from God. As a pastor, I'm on continual alert for those who begin to wander, especially knowing how horrible it's going to be for them when they distance themselves from God and find themselves in trouble or a dilemma. A lot of people get upset with the pastor when he's trying to do the job that God told him to do. See, God told him to be the under-shepherd of the flock. The flock? Flock of what? The flock of sheep. People forget that the pastor, the under-shepherd, is a sheep too. I'm a sheep. I've been away. It hurt enough. It was lonely enough. It was horrible enough to where I don't want you to experience it. People get upset when somebody says something about them being away. That's what a shepherd's supposed to do. That's what a good friend's supposed to do. Amen. It's an accountability. It's saying, okay, well, hey, you're wandering away. You're wandering away. Amen. Why? Because it happens little by little by little by little. Right. The Bible says we're sheep. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Is this a big deal? Yes, it's a big deal. Do you know why Jesus had to die on the cross? Do you know why his blood has to keep paying for our sins? Because we continue to wander away from God. That's how big a deal it is. The devil wants unbelievers to keep wandering away from God, and he wants believers to start wandering away from God. Did you hear that? The devil wants believers to start wandering from God. He wants unbelievers to keep wandering away from God. See, there's two kinds of wandering. A person that grows up in the world and refuses to go to the flock, they continue to wander all the way until they wander themselves right into hell. Right. But a believer that was close to God one time, that accepted God's grace, and they began to wander, they distance themselves from God. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I did want to break this down into what I think. This is just from living. Four categories that we can say are the cause of our wandering. And if you're interested in this, note this because you'll see it in yourself. I think these are four categories or causes why we wander. And I think it's great to identify these because we need to see, hey, is this happening to us? The first category is we wander because of curiosity. And I do want to note here that the devil knows that us sheep, if given the opportunity, may wander. So the devil's going to make sure these things come in our path. You say, what does God do about it? Well, God's wanting you to pass the test. Nothing wrong with giving somebody a test. You're going to reward them if they pass, right? But a lot of people wander because of curiosity. A lot of sheep wonder, I think I will see what it is that I'm missing. That's curiosity. Maybe there's something over there that I need to see. I've never tried this other way. I think I'll try this, even though I would have to leave God for just a little while. I think I'll try this. It's curiosity, right? Number two, I think sheep leave and begin to wander because they have a lust for something else. Well, that's common sense, right? They have a lust for something else. They want something more. I really want this thing, and I'm not supposed to have it. I'm not supposed to do it. I want to experience this thing that I see other people experiencing. I really think that this other way would make me happier, even though the shepherd says it won't. I want acceptance. I want security. I want success. I want pleasure. And I want to be fulfilled, and I don't think I can get that unless I do these things that distance me from God's Word. Young people, pay attention. This is the one that the devil's going to use with you. Young adults, pay attention. It's a lust for something else. Oh, lust, not in the sexual term, even though it could be, but it's a desire. When you want something else more than you want the closeness of God, here's what will happen. He'll let you have it. And you'll be miserable with it. And then the principle will be applied. You get what you get. Don't have a fit, right? This is what you asked for. Number three, I think we wonder because of our own intellect. We're smart enough. We think we'll go over there. We think our way is better than God's way. Just like Isaiah says, we've turned everyone to his own way. We think we can work out our own rules. We can say what is right and wrong according to us. We can decide that we're going to stop listening to God's word. We have our own thing, our own way to worship. Proverbs 19, written by the wisest man ever. Cease, my son, to have the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Translated you to this. Stop listening to the instructions, my son, and you will stray away from the words of knowledge. If you stop listening, you will stray away. This is what we've seen happen to our society today, especially in this country. We've wandered away from the Word of God, the commands of God, the truth of God, because man has decided that he has a more intelligent way. Think about it. The devil wants man to wander away. Man's intellect, he's decided to take prayer out of public schools and public meetings. In man's intellect, he's decided to take the commandments out of public view. In man's intellect, he has decided that public worship of the one and only God, Yahweh, cannot happen in public places. Think about it, right under our eyes. All of these are the devil's plan to remove the Word from public view, to distance man from the Word. And he's using man's intellect to accomplish it. Because he knows when man is distanced from the Word, he's prone to wander from God. From generation to generation to generation. And we see this happening even in our nation today, our state today, our civil governments today. Let me remind you what God told his people in Jeremiah 14:10. Thus saith the Lord to his people, even so they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. Therefore the Lord does not accept them now. He will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. Count on it. Number four, the fourth category that I think calls sheep to wander is when they follow other sheep that are wandering. This is something that we have to be careful of. Well, why? We don't need to follow those that have wandered away from God. You say, we'll be alert for that. Here's the second thing. We don't need to be a sheep that has wandered away that others are following. Deuteronomy 27:18, here's the warning. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. As Christians, we're put in various different lives of other people to bring them closer to God. Not to have them wander away because of this. This happens when Christian youth compromise their convictions in order to be accepted or to go along with the crowd. There that Christian was put in a certain group or an environment or a classroom or a team. And they're a Christian, but they're wandering, and so they're causing other people to wander. Do you know what a big deal that is? And then it happens with parents and children. That parent that's wandering is leading a child to wander also. How great a travesty. I appeal, and I have appealed to parents before, and they get upset. You know, now of all time, while your children are at home and they're watching you, why are you not faithful? You're wandering, but you're causing your children to wander. Maybe your grandchildren to wander. They're looking and they're going to use your wandering as a valid reason for them to be wandering. Amen. We saw a great example of this in the Old Testament. I think when you think the preacher's going to preach on wandering, you would immediately think, oh, he's going to talk about the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. I can bring it up, but we should know this, that God told them, here's the place of permanence. They didn't believe God. So what happened to them? They got to wander. Guess who had to wander with them? Their children. 40 years. Their children had to pay the penalty. Why? Because they chose to wander. Curiosity, a lust for something else, our own intellect, following other wandering sheep. I think those are four categories that cause us to wander. Now, have those things that I mentioned ever caused you to wander? That's the first question. Next question. Are you wandering right now? Next question. What can you do? If this has happened to you before, maybe you're not wondering now, but it's happened to you before, here's the remedy. Pray to God like the psalmist. That's why we have this psalm. Ask Him to help keep your heart from wandering. Vow to Him that you'll draw close to Him. Dedicate yourself to His Word, to trying to emulate the life of Jesus, the reading of His Word, and your prayer life. Listening to the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian who's wandering right now, fall on your knees and admit it to God. Let's stop avoiding it. Let's stop thinking it's not us. You know if you're close and you know if you're not. Fall on your knees. Confess it to Him. Confess to Him that you've wandered away and ask for forgiveness and rededicate your life to Him today. Ask Him for help. Get back close to Him by praying to Him, reading His written word, making worship a priority in your life. And guess what? He'll restore you today as you begin to meditate on His word. Amen. You won't be wandering. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are wandering today. There's no question. Because you're not with the flock. And the flock, believe me, are made up of a bunch of old sheep like me and other people that are not worthy to even be in the flock, but you're not with the flock. You have to go through Jesus to get with the flock. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you're wandering. And your wandering is going to lead to destruction. You're never going to see that closeness to God. But here's the thing. The great shepherd is calling you today. Amen. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Rest, not wandering, rest. That's God's offer to you today. Stop wandering. Come on. Matthew said He'll leave the 99 to go find that one lost one. And when He finds him, He'll rejoice, and the angels in heaven will rejoice. Amen. Jesus died for you so that you could stop wandering. Listen, remember this? Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the flock of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Glory to God. Do you need to stop wandering? Do Do you need to stop wandering and give your heart and soul to God today? Or do you need to rededicate your life to God today? Or just ask Him for help. Then ask Him and praise Him the way that we hear this great song and the way that we hear the psalm go with it. Both of these things are saying the same thing. Let thy goodness, pray this, let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Pray it to God. Prone to wander, I'm admitting it. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This is rededication. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen.
Glory to God. He doesn't want us to wander. Wandering away from God puts us in imminent danger. I don't want anybody to be in imminent danger today. I want you to be able to see where you're at with God. And don't leave here still wandering. Pray with me. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for your word, which reaches out and finds us all. I pray, God, today that decisions will be made in this service, in this time of invitation. Lord, I pray so earnestly that if there's anyone here that is unsure about their salvation, if there's anyone here, Lord, who knows they've never accepted you as Savior, maybe they doubt it, I just pray, God, they would see their need today and come and pray to you, Lord, and accept that gift of Jesus that you gave so freely. I pray, God, they would wander no more today. And I pray, God, for Christians all over this room. Some have wandered away and now they realize it would be easy to do it again and they're going to come and pray for help just to stay close to you. And some, Lord, are wandering right now. Lord, as they come, I pray, God, that you embrace them as you've invited us to come. I pray, God, that you would restore them and put that desire and help them, Lord, keep their wandering heart from leaving you. I pray, God, you work in hearts and lives all over this room, Lord, as lives are rededicated to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.